All right. Right, can we begin? Couple of notices. Three, in fact. One, as you can see, Richard is not with us this morning. He will be back with us next week, as usual. You know that we are served by what they call community builders, and our community builders cover the area of Heale, Barton, Whatcombe and the Willows, and they have produced this newsletter, Community in Action, and there are several of them on the table as you come in. So if you would like to take one, please do. As you know well, this pub supports us very well, and this is a leaflet about what they're doing for celebrating the Queen's Jubilee on Saturday the 4th of June. There's a children's themed breakfast, there's a family day, there includes a bouncy castle, fancy dress competition, face painting, and a community buffet at 12:30. And there's a garden party and concert on the outside screen as well from 6:30 that day. It's all on that leaflet, and there's plenty of those outside too. So just share all that with you, and we will begin today with the...
The service is happening at Barton Primary. Is that where the portable... Yes, that's on, is it? On the Sunday at 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock, okay. That's at Barton Academy.
Right. Okay. Because we were thinking about where it might have been at the time, weren't we? Yes, yeah. No, it is now at Barton Academy.
Sorry, I didn't know that. That's all right. We're going to be looking at the first seven churches in Revelation, and the message about those churches is a good challenge for the church today. Today we'll be looking at the first of the seven, and then we'll go through the others as a series. But we're going to start today, because it's about churches, so we're going to start with the churches. One foundation is Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Creation by one.
is a prayer of praise and thanksgiving to God. And we are reminded by Bruce over there that it's not just thanking God during Sunday worship. It's about showing God's grace and unending love to each other. With that in mind, let us pray. O Lord, our God, the wonderful God, the only true and living God, we come to praise you. We come to thank you. Lord, we come to you so often, perhaps during the week in prayer. Do we always thank you? Lord, we thank you now for the way that you work in our lives. We thank you for answered prayer. We thank you that we can always rely on you. And Lord, when we feel weak, when we feel that we've lost our energy and enthusiasm, you are always there for us. And we can rely on your help. So, Lord, we want to glorify you now for what you do in your church, what you do in our lives. But we also want to praise you for who you are and for all that you do and have done through the ages. Lord, you are a wonderful God. And we believe that the best way we can show our thanks in our prayers this morning is by giving our lives in your service, by being your ambassadors and sharing your love, not just with each other, but with those that do not know you. Lord, help us. Help us to be your servants. And in that way, Lord, may we praise and glorify you in all that we do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Lord of the Church, we pray for our renewing. When we look at the first seven churches and the challenge that gives to us, you'll know that we do need to be renewed. Last moments, we turn to Jean to share the scriptures with us.
The scripture reading this morning is from Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 to 7, to the church in Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus, write, These are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked people, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken the love you had at first. Consider how far you have fallen. Repent and do the things you did at first. If you do not repent, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place. But you have this in your favour. You hate the practices of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who is victorious, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Amen.
Thank you. You'll be looking at that a little bit later. And the next song, May the Fragrance of Jesus Fill This Place. May the Glory of Jesus Fill His Church. And May the Beauty of Jesus Fill Our Lives. Right, as we come to prayer, let us come in believing prayer, knowing that not only does our Lord want to hear our prayers, but he will be faithful in the way that he responds. And we do need to be reminded that when we come in prayer, we seek that his will should be done, not ours. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for the situation throughout the world. We pray for all leaders. We ask, Lord, that you would give to them wisdom, that you would give to them guidance, that you would give to them the desire to seek peace. We pray for the situation, Lord, in Ukraine. Lord, it makes us sad, and we want to see a better solution to the problems that are there. We want to see an end to war and terrorism. We also pray for the situation in Afghanistan. Lord, we know that that must displease you. And we pray again for that country, for their leaders. And we pray, Lord, that peace will come into that situation. We pray for the election of a new president in France. Lord, as the election takes place, we pray that you would fill the minds of the people, that they may do what is right in your sight. We pray, Lord, for your church throughout the world. Lord, may we stand fast against all problems. May we seek the church to be the church that you founded. It's your church, Lord, not ours. And we want the church to increase. We want the church to stand up for you and for the truth of the gospel. So, Lord, will you be with your church throughout the world. Help every individual to put you first in all things. We pray for our own country. We pray for our Queen. It's not far now to the celebrations of her Platinum Jubilee. Lord, we know that it's going to be rather a strenuous time for her, and we pray that you would be her strength and all that she will need for that occasion. We pray, Lord, for what we're seeking to do in this country, and Lord, in this community, to celebrate that special week. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us, that through the celebrations we may honour you and spread the word of your love. We pray, Lord, for ourselves. We pray particularly this morning for Bruce's dad, John, who is still waiting for the result of a scan. Lord, he's quite weak, and we pray that the result will come soon and that the problem will be dealt with. And whilst he's waiting, Lord, we pray for his dear wife. And we pray, Lord, that you would continue to keep her safe and strong. We pray for Stuart McKinley. Lord, we miss him. We know he can't come, but Lord, we do miss him. And we pray, Lord, that you would be his close companion at all times. We pray for all who are sick. We pray for the dying. We pray for the unemployed. We pray, Lord, for those who have no homes of their own. We pray for all people in all kinds of needs. And we want to thank you and pray for all the organizations and volunteers who seek to help people in need. We thank you, Lord, for their efforts, and we pray that they may continue to be successful in all that they are doing. Finally, Lord, we pray for each other. We pray for Stuart. We pray for Brian. We pray for Graham. We pray for Bruce. We pray for Jean. We pray for Rita. We pray for Sarah. We pray for Eunice and myself. Lord, be with us all. Be with our families and our friends. And help us, Lord, that we might put you first in all things. But Lord, you know about any problems that we have, any weakness that we have, any doubts that we have, any problems that we have. And Lord, as we bring to you our prayers for each one of us, we ask that you would be there for us in all that really matters to us at this time. So Lord, have your way in our lives, have your way in this country, have your way in the world, and Lord, particularly, have your way in the church worldwide. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Brother, sister, let me serve you. Let me be as Christ to you.
Speak the name.
We'll be looking at Revelation 2, but can I just share with you the first words of the first verse of the first chapter of Revelation? The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to him. The seven churches, each one has a message which is important to the church today. Quite a long time ago, up there in Shipay, in Jean's and Stuart's home, we did in our Bible study group, we did a look at the first seven churches. And I thought it would be good if we could do that today. Perhaps slightly different, but to do it. And so today we're going to do Ephesus. Next week we will do Smyrna and Pergamos. And the reason for doing two is that that will take us through so that we are finished for Pentecost. So, but of course, and soon after Pentecost, we've got the Jubilee, and that service at Barton Academy is going to be, I trust, a great witness to people, and it will be attended by people from all of those areas I spoke about just now, about being in the local community, and they've left me with the job of planning the service. I need your prayers for that, but Barton Academy have been very good to us, and we're going to have the service in the front car park so that it's evident to passers-by, etc. But there's no place inside the school that we can use for refreshments afterwards. So there's various ways we could supply refreshments. But if anybody has any ideas, please let me know. One way would be to have little packs of refreshments to give to everyone. But there are other ways that perhaps we could do it. The school said we can certainly have tables out for it. But so there's a lot to be done. A small group of us are going to choose the songs. And Paul Knight and the people at Mount Olive Church, they've got a trailer which they use, and their worship group will come on that trailer and will lead the music side of the actual celebration. But now back to the church at Ephesus, the first of the seven churches mentioned in Revelation. It's all in chapter 2, and we're looking at Ephesus is chapter 2, verses 1-7. And you know, this is something for us to think about. When moving to a new community, we might find it hard to select a new church. Imposing buildings may house dying congregations. The church we think of that is rich may turn out to be poor in God's sight. So we need to know and be reminded, don't we, surely? Only the head of the church, Jesus, can accurately inspect each church and know its true condition. In Revelation 2, we see that the Lord gives the churches an X-ray of its condition. But he intends all churches to read these messages and to benefit from them. And that is the challenge. So Ephesus then. It was known as the Careless Church. Today we briefly look at that church, the church known, as I said, as the Careless Church, and how easy it is for a church to become proud and forget the pastors and teachers of God, who, for instance, as it was in Ephesus, may be taken away at any time. Some churches need to be cautioned that to worship the Lord and not the pastor, not the church leader. It is the Lord that we worship. It is the Lord's church. How gracious of the Lord to start with words of commendation concerning the church at Ephesus. To begin with, it says this was a serving church, busy doing the works of the Lord. No doubt their weekly schedule was filled with activities. It was also a sacrificing church. It mentions their labor. It means toil to the point of exhaustion. The Ephesian church paid a price to serve our Lord. They were a steadfast assembly. The word patience in the verse carries the meaning of endurance under trial. They kept going when the going was tough. The Ephesian church were also a separated people because they had carefully examined the visiting ministers to see if they were genuine. We know that in the Epistle of John, Paul had warned the Ephesian elders that false teachers would come in from outside and even arise from within the church. And John had instructed them to try the spirits, to test the people. Indeed, Satan had his false ministers, and the church must be constantly alert to detect them and reject them. Can I just share with you that we had a gentleman in Tasso in Fulham in recent years who came from America, paid by America, and wanted to serve the church. And it came out as we talked, and I was invited to go up and talk with him and the church. And it came out that he doesn't believe that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, is available to people today. It was only to the apostles. Now that is false teaching. And we had to say, we don't want you. He also didn't believe that women should be in leadership positions. We couldn't have him. He is helping a church very dear to me now, but I hope he's been cautioned about his teaching. He's certainly not the senior pastor. There was a very steadfast assembly in Ephesus, and they really endured under trial. They kept on going, in other words, when the going was tough. They were also a separated people. But Ephesian Christians did separate themselves not only from false doctrine, but also from false deeds. The believers in Ephesus were a suffering people who patiently bore the burdens and they toiled with fainting. However, here it comes. The busy sacrificing church rarely suffered from heart trouble. They had abandoned their first love. Oh, they displayed work. They displayed labour and patience, but these qualities were not motivated, unfortunately, with a love for Christ. So, not only is it here in Revelation that they could be commended for much, but there needed to be a check on what was not good within the church. First, we must remember to keep on remembering what we've lost and cultivate a desire to regain close communion once again. In other words, if we feel in any way that we have lost our love for the Lord Jesus, then there is something wrong and we must seek to regain that close companionship once again. If that happens, we must repent. We must change our minds and confess our sins to the Lord. Oh, it's not easy, is it? It wasn't easy for the church at Ephesus, as we're going to see very quickly. And you know, for us, for believers today, this means prayer, Bible reading, meditation, obedience, service, and worship. And so you see that the Lord does commend here much of the good work of the church. But unfortunately, there was much that was not good. They'd lost their first love for Christ, and they'd allowed people to come in who were false prophets. In other words, in spite of the privileges that it had enjoyed, the church in Ephesus was in danger of losing its light for Jesus. The church that loses its love will soon lose its light, no matter how doctrinally sound it might be. It says if the church in Ephesus continues to entertain false prophets and false teaching, it says, I will come. The Lord will come. It doesn't mean the Lord's return at the end. But what it means is the Lord would come in judgment on that church then and there. And you know, this is the situation. The glorious city of Ephesus is today but a heap of stones, and no light is sharing there. What do we mean? Well, there isn't a church like we would want to see. There isn't a church like Jesus founded. There isn't a light for Jesus shining in Ephesus today. Oh dear, they did indeed fail, did they not? So today, we need to make sure that our first love is for our Lord. Keeping busy is one thing, but what do we achieve? Are we reaching people with the message of God's love? We here are a small fellowship in number. But we must not give up. We need to be effective in a ministry of evangelism. And let me say this to you. The obtaining of a new community center will give us many opportunities that we don't have at the moment to spread God's love. That is, if we present ourselves and accept the opportunities that God gives us. We must accept the call of God. Why are we going to have a community center? because there is a need in the Willows for people to have a place where they can meet. Yes, but as a Christian church, as a Christian organization that is going to be responsible for that community center, we must accept the call. We must take every chance we have that God gives us. We must not give up. You may say, well, look, I won't have the energy, I won't have the time to come into this center and do the work. Well, if that community center is going to be successful in God's work, then we need to be praying for it. We need to be helping to fund it. We need to help as volunteers. And there are lots of other ways that we could do it. Praying for people that we're told about, perhaps on a Sunday, people with a real need. There's lots of different things. Being hospitable to someone, pulling someone aside who has a real need and talking to them. It doesn't mean to do all things, but what it does mean, if it's our church's community center, then we must be involved in one way or another. If the Lord provides the center and he's going to, then we must accept the gift, we must accept the call, and although we have limitations as individuals, we must do what we can. And one thing we can do is to encourage people to come to the center, and in that center there will be a Christian Christian work going on all the time. So there we are. You will know much more about it when the center's there. Do we have a service on Sundays there? Do we continue here? Or do we do both? You know, those are the things that we're going to have to challenge. You may only have time for one service on a Sunday. Which one should you go? We've got all those things to look at. And we should be looking at it not from our point of view, but from God's point of view. God is providing and he is calling workers into his harvest. Let us praise God. Amen. We come to our last song. There is a Redeemer, Jesus, God's own Son.
Give us your son.
This magazine idea. It's a magazine of the Evangelical Alliance, of which we are members. There's about three of there, if anyone wants to take one. There's these leaflets, there's plenty of these at the door, the community newsletter, and what the pub here is doing. Let us stand together and say the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.